Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 18. One of the many questions I've always had as a Christian and even now as a pastor is why some people have been going to church for many years and it seems like the church is not changing them. Are you guys what I'm saying? Why does it seem like we have many religious people but few transformed people? Are you guys what I'm saying? It's a major question, a big question in my heart. And I launched an adventure to find out why. And one of the very first reasons I found out was because they lack the right training. Open to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 from verse 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Everybody read with me from verse 12. 1-3, go. For the perfecting of the saints. I cannot hear you. 1-3, go. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So that means pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers are for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Do you know how many people who have been going to church, but they can't believe anything? Anywhere they enter is a correct church. Anywhere there is drum and keyboard, and somebody carries a mic to say something. Even if they are doing a human sacrifice on the stage, as long as there is drum, keyboard, and mic, is a church. That we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Listen, let me tell you something. As a pastor, I can come here and all I will tell you from morning till night is about how motivation, motivation, motivation. But there is something in the mind of God. Are you with me? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, Paul was writing to the Ephesian church. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, follow me, verse 18. Everybody read verse 18. He was praying for them. 1-3, go. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? My emphasis here is what is the hope of his calling. Meaning that when God called you into Christ, there is something that God hopes that you will become. Are you with me? There is a hope that God has in his mind. After you've been a Christian for 3 years, God is expecting you to be something. After you've been a Christian for 10 years, God is expecting you to be something. When you have been to church for 20 years, you ought to be something. There is a hope. Are you with me? Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, don't sleep now. There is a hope. There is a hope of his calling. When Christ hung on the cross and died, there was something he was expecting he would get out of the people he died for. Are you following me? And so, as a pastor, every time I stand in front of you, my job is to ensure that I add one more block and one more step to what Christ hoped for when he died for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That every time you come for service, you encounter another dimension to what he died and hoped for when he saved you. Are you getting this? This is so important. And I've discovered many reasons why people are not growing. First of all, like I showed you, the wrong teaching, the wrong emphasis. You know, that statement in medicine, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. If you eat the wrong things for a long time, after a while, it will affect your body. You may not know, but it will affect your body. If you eat carbohydrates only and you are taking carbonated drinks, after a while, you will not know why you are just tired. Some of you, maybe I'm talking to you. If you consume carbonated drinks too much, after a while, every day, Coke, Coke, Coke. You wake up, you are tired. You will sleep, wake up, you are still tired. You know what is happening? Your body is telling you that the food you are putting inside is not helping it. And you know that the strength you have today is not because of the food you ate this morning or yesterday. When I began to do stretch fast, meaning when I will fast for 3 days, 4 days stretch, that's when I realized that even after I broke the fast, I was still feeling weak. It was after 4 or 5 days, after doing a long fast, I got myself. And I realized that sometimes your body may be running on the energy it got from food 2 weeks ago. That means after the process of time, what you are hearing will influence your future. What you are hearing will influence your spiritual growth. What you are feeding on will influence what you will become spiritually. Are you getting me? And so tell your neighbor, pay attention. A series like this is something we should take serious. Oh yes, in the month of January, we talked about divine emergence, the pathway to divine emergence, and all of that. Then we talked about love in February. Now in March, don't play. Let it be that by the end of this year, you look at where you are in God and where you were in God and where you are. You know there is an obvious difference. You know, even as your pastor, I can tell you in my own personal walk with God, I know that I've changed. I know I've improved. It's as though my sensitivity has become more crisp. Something happened last night. So 2 nights ago, that was Friday night, I was praying, kneeling down in my parlor praying. And the Lord said to me, call so and so woman on your contact list. Send her this amount of money. I was wondering, what's the matter? Because as far back as I know the woman, she owned a house in Lekki. Somewhat you can say a big woman. I don't know if you're getting me. What did that big woman be needing my chicken change? But that was what the Lord said to me. Call her. Check on her. Send her this amount of money. Are you guys what I'm saying? It was a clear voice at my right ear or my left ear. I said, okay, I will do it. But I was now thinking, Kai, this big woman and this is my small money. Oh, this. So I debated about it for the whole Saturday. So in the night, I said, you know what? Let me message her and just tell her. Maybe when she wakes up, she will see the message. I messaged her by 4 a.m. I said, Ma, how are you? God said I should call you, send you this amount of money. Please give me your account number. She replied me immediately and said, you are a man of God. You heard well. I just wanted to tell you that my house has... I don't know if you're aware. She was like, are you aware that flood has affected my house? We have to move out. So and so and so. By the time she was listening to all the things that was happening, the very day God was asking me to do that to her was her birthday. So I told her, this is when God said... She was like, oh, so that day was my birthday. God planned the gift for her. Are you following what I'm saying? She was sick. She's now a widow. She was moving out. She was losing her house. If I moved in my own mind, I wouldn't respond. Are you getting me? But the Lord was saying, respond. Do something. So I was happy that, Kai, I have grown to the point where the time where I hear God's instruction and when I respond is becoming shorter. Are you getting me? I was happy that I have grown to the point where I can quickly pick what he's saying and respond quickly. Not that I will respond 1 week later or 1 month later. Tell your neighbor, grow up. Amen. And so this month, we've talked about drift draw. We've talked about what is spiritual growth. That was the introduction. Then we talked last week, Sunday, were you blessed? Yes, desiring God. Yes. Praise the Lord. And today we are going into a much deeper subject. It's a deep dive. It's not something you always hear, but it's for those who want to mean business with God. And we've called it yoke. The cost of discipleship. You see, one of the many problems people have in their Christian journey is that we don't know what it costs. We don't know what it costs. For some people, you know what Christianity is? Christianity is a side hustle. That side hustle they do to ensure God is happy, they escape hell, and at least have some good things of this world. But you see, Christianity is more serious than that. Tell your neighbor, it's more serious than that. I like the way C.S. Lewis puts it. He puts it like this. He says, if Christianity is false, it is of no importance at all. But if true, it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Let me say that again.
If Christianity is false, it is of no importance at all. If it is true, it is of infinite importance. But the only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Father, in the name of Jesus, our eyes are open. Lord, we are strengthened to be alert, to pay attention to your word. In the name of Jesus. You know the popular scripture, Matthew 13, verse 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pills. And when he has found one of great price, he went and sold all that he had to get it. That means the very essence of your life and eternity depends on this thing. It's serious business. Tell your neighbor, it's serious business. So quickly, what is a yoke? Now, when we're talking about yoke here, we're not talking about that yellow part of the egg you boil. Praise the Lord. Because I remember growing up as a child, when they would say in church, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I used to wonder, why do you need anointing to break yoke? It's not yoke inside egg. Why am I wasting anointing? I didn't understand it for many years. You know, as a child, many thoughts going through your head. This is the picture of a yoke. Are you seeing this? When it says, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Actually, what it reads in the original is that the yoke shall be destroyed because you have become fat. So, when God, if a person is under such a bondage of a yoke like this at his neck, God will make you far bigger and stronger, that you will break the yoke. That's what it reads. If you read it in NIV, you see, and the yoke shall be destroyed because you have become fat. So, spiritual growth is a way of making you so fast that every yoke of Satan is broken. Are you getting this? But much more, there is a divine yoke. And so let me just define what this is. A yoke is a wooden bar or frame used to draft animals like oxen or cows at their heads or necks so that they can pull together on a load. So if you want, I'm sure you've seen horses that are yoked like this. They arrange them like this so that they can pull a human being on a chariot. But this time around, they use oxen in farms and all of that. So this thing, this wooden bar with this curved irons to hold their necks, is called a yoke. It consists of a wooden long bar or pole, sometimes curved or shaped to fit the animal's neck with collars at the end to hold it. Now, I wrote this. The term yoke has evolved to figuratively describe something that causes people to be treated unfairly or cruelly, especially taking away their freedom. A yoke is not a convenient term. It means that you are under restraint. Are you getting me? You are under restraint. And listen, in the Christian faith, if you are going to make progress as a disciple of God, there will be some restraint that you must take upon yourself. Are you getting me? That's the cost of discipleship. There will be some restraint, some intentional yoke you will put. Are you getting me? You are strengthened for this message in Jesus' name. Put the other one. So that if you have not seen it as clear as this, if you're not seeing it very clear, is it very clear? Okay. So you can take this one off. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Tell your neighbor the cost of spiritual growth. Luke 14, verse 26. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What kind of statement is this? You know, sometimes there are some verses in the Bible you wish they were not there. You know, some white people have actually said that Jesus had hate speech. United States, they don't like this verse of the Bible. Now, what kind of statement is this? But this is Jesus talking. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, is he saying you should hate your wife? Of course, the same Bible says love your wife as Christ loved the church. So what is he talking about here? He's saying that when we see your devotion to God and your devotion to every other thing else, your love for God should be so much that it, in comparison to other things, it will be said that you hate it. You know, some people, they love amala to the point that you can say they hate gari. If you leave them, they will eat amala in the wedu in the morning, amala in the wedu in the afternoon, amala in the wedu in the evening, in the midnight amala. When you tell them we have rice, say, who rice help? You tell them we have beans, say, did I ask you for beans? All they want is amala. The only reason they will not eat amala is if it's not available. Don't worry, I know people like that. They can preach for it. They evangelize for it. They have initiated all their friends. Everybody. That's the way. They love it so much that you would think they hate other foods. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he's saying that your devotion to God should be so obvious that when we compare it to other things, it will look as though you hate them. Are you getting this? That's the kind of cost Jesus is asking. Jesus was not mincing words about who will be his disciple. He was telling you straight up that if you will be my disciple, you will have to go this far. You know, like I said, one of these people don't make progress in their work with God. They don't really know the cost. Some years ago, I moved into a house. And the rent was relatively cheap. It was a 3-bedroom flat. And I was happy because the rent was cheap. I was wondering, wow, 3-bedroom flat for this amount? Wow. 3-bedroom flat for just a little above 600,000. Hey, I was like, where will you find such a deal? I did not know the real cost. By the time they put the agent fee, put this, all of that, I was still like, wow, no problem. The rent is not too much. I did not check the meter. The meter had debt, of almost 1 million. We will load 5K, no light. We will load 10,000, no light. We will load 20, no light. I was wondering, what is going on? You see, I was looking at the 600K. I did not know the real cost. See, they had to change that one. The next thing that they brought, they were owing about 500K. Before we finished begging NEPA, everything had reduced to 200 and something thousand. We paid it, though. You load 20K to stay for like 4 hours and go off. You load again. That's how we're going. Many times in people's work, they don't know that this thing, it has a cost. It has a cost. Tell your neighbor, it has a cost. If you will get the blessings of it, you have to respond to the cost. And the earlier you know, the better for you. Are you getting me? The earlier you know that Christianity has a cost, you will respond properly. So after me, I hear. Jesus wants us to know the cost of being his disciple and embrace it. You know, we can preach the way we evangelize. He will change your life. He will change your story. We don't want to tell people that there is a cost. Are you following this? He doesn't want us to embrace him thinking that there will be no cost. But listen, even though there is a cost, the cost is nothing compared to the blessings that follow. The cost is nothing compared to the glories that follow. Are you with me? It's nothing. Look at Matthew chapter 11. You know, there is something called opportunity cost in economics. It is what you are willing to lose to gain something higher. I once said, he is no fool who loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. A man who will lose what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose is not a fool. Matthew chapter 11 from verse 28. Everybody read this verse with me with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go! Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Many times we read this verse and stop here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's it. There is more. So let's read from verse 11, from verse 28 to verse 30. 1, 2, 3, go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for unto your souls. Listen, that means the promise of come unto me, all ye that are laden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is dependent on the fact that if you take his yoke upon you, you will find the rest. Many people are coming unto him and wondering why they are not receiving complete rest. Part of the reason is that they have not taken his yoke upon them. Are you getting me? They have not taken his yoke upon them, required to launch them into that rest. Look at what he's saying. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon thee, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Go to verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So even though there is a yoke, compared to what you have to struggle with outside there, he says, my own yoke is easy. Ah, my God. Let me tell you something. It's either you take the yoke of Christ or take the yoke of this world. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke upon thee. My yoke is easy. My own is light. Are you following this? You know? Are you sure I have permission to say this? I will not mention the particular fraternity. Years ago, our church was still in a small... When we were in Port Harcourt. When I was in Port Harcourt. Our church in Port Harcourt was still in a small classroom. And a man was passing the compound and the Spirit of God arrested him in front of the compound. He was actually part of a well-known fraternity in this country, an occultic fraternity. And he was going to do an initiation to get to another level. But the Lord arrested him there and he came upstairs and we preached to him. He recanted, led him to Christ and everything. And after a lot of discussion, you know what he said? He said, see, now that you can serve God though. He said, because if you serve the devil, it's harder to serve the devil than to serve God. Did you hear what I just said? He said, all the things we tell Christians to do, it is nothing compared to what it takes to serve the devil. In the end, you will still lose your life, lose it eternally. Are you getting what I'm saying? The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you will have life. Take my yoke upon thee, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Everybody is carrying a yoke, but make sure it is the yoke of Christ. Yes. No, you can decide to go through your life and say, oh, I'll do it my own way. Later, don't come back after 25 years and say, I wish I took the yoke of knowing the Lord early. Are you getting me? Sometimes I will take his yoke upon me. I just love that verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, I want to beg you, don't let the devil distract you. Are you getting me? Don't let the devil distract you. Don't let the devil allow you to be such a Christian who you are not steadfast. This stuff is not really entering you. You are just going at every distraction you give in. Every little distraction here you give in. You won't be solid that way. Remember, I was telling you to open 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, right? Let's open it. Let me deviate a little bit. The Lord is showing me somebody. Let me talk to somebody. Maybe the person is online. I want to talk to you. Everybody, read 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This already should mean that every time we encounter the glory of God in church, people should change. They should get better. The things of the world should leave them. The things of darkness should leave them. Sickness should leave them. The work of the flesh should leave them. Every time they appear before God and behold His glory as we worship, as we pray, as we hear the word of God. And I've been thinking about it. Remember where we started from? Why is it that people don't change? They have been going to church and it's like... they are still the same people. Until one day I discovered. He said, we all with open face. We all with open face. Because listen, if you appear there with a closed face, you will be beholding, but nothing will be changing. We all with open face. See, you have to tell yourself, nothing will distract me. Every time you hear the word of God, you have to say, my heart is open. You have to tear down the distraction. Are you with me? Yes, sir. That thing blinding your mind. Some people, wherever they are in church, they're like, this one is not for me. That one is not for me. What they don't know is that thing they are saying is not for me. It's for somebody else. They are closing their face from beholding. Are you getting this? We open face. Clear out your distractions. You know, years ago, a man of God was not able to attend a major program with Papa Kenny Hagin. And he got all the tapes and listened to the tapes so much that he had so many encounters. He had an encounter with Jesus. He was so blessed. Angels appeared to him. All kinds of things happened to him because of the sermons that he listened to again and again. Then he met a man after many years. And the man said, do you know about so-and-so meeting? That very powerful meeting. He said, yes. He said, I was there. He said, wait, you were there. He said, I cried for the man. He said, you were there, you are like this. Me, I was not there. I listened to tape. My life changed. You were there. I started crying for him. Tell yourself, your neighbor, open your heart. Open your heart. Don't deflect the word of God. Praise the Lord. So back to what I'm talking about. Yoke. You see, maturity is knowing what is good for you, even when it does not look nice to you. You know, when a child is 2 years old, 4 years old, all he wants to eat from morning till night is chocolate, candy, biscuits. When that same child is 25 and the child is hungry, if you give him chocolate, he may be excited, but he will start telling you, I want garri. I want bitter leaf soup. So now, the small child does not understand why you'll be eating bitter leaf soup and garri. Are you with me? But you see, you are matured. You know better. That is not all that is sweet to the tongue that is good for the body. Are you guys what I'm saying? In the same way, maturity in the spirit is like that. You know that some things may be painful, but you need it. So, quickly, there are three major yokes or three major levels of his yoke that you must take to find rest for your soul. Number one, the yoke of devotion. Can you say after me, devotion? The yoke of devotion. Say it with me, the yoke of devotion. Lord, our hearts are open in the name of Jesus. Remember what we just read? Matthew 11:29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. That discipline to come and sit down and learn about God. That devotion to take God seriously, to learn about him. It's a yoke because it's not going to be easy for your flesh. Listen here, it is easier to wake up on a Sunday morning, look around and say, my estate is going to be free this morning. Let me go and jog. You know, they do that a lot in Abuja. Say, it's time for sports. It's time for sports. You can do any other thing than go to church. You can do any other thing than open your Bible. In fact, some of you know what I'm talking about. When you wanted to start reading your Bible, as you start like this, when I began my journey with the Lord, 2005, I struggled with sleep. Oh, my God. At a point, you know what I used to do? Once I want to sleep, I say, where's my Bible? I will just carry my Bible because even if anything cannot make me sleep, Bible will make me sleep. But guess what? I continued. I kept on reading it. I kept on going on. I will sleep off, I will wake up. I kept on reading, sleeping off, waking up. One day, I discovered I read the Bible for 45 minutes. I did not sleep. 1 hour, I couldn't sleep. God was showing me something inside. Now, it was as though the Bible was opening itself to me. Before, I've been opening the Bible to myself. A time knocking, the Bible was opening itself to me. A time came, I was, I saw this verse here. This verse was also repeated here. Why was it repeated here like this? Gradually, revelation became stronger. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's a yoke. But when you embrace it, you will discover that it will give you rest to your soul. A time came in reading the Bible, just reading the Bible, I discovered that when the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That verse, Hebrews 4 verse 12, when it says the word of God, it's not talking about Rhema. It says the logos, the written word, just by reading the Bible, the logos of the word of God is quick and powerful. That was how I overcame addictions as a young man. I'm telling you. Between 2005 and 2006, I cannot count how many times I read the New Testament. Till a point came where even the very things I thought I was struggling with, I did not even know that I've overcome. I just discovered that I'm not even struggling again. I'm not struggling. Hey, I'm not. I also discovered that as I read the Bible just like that, I began to have a greater capacity to believe God. I can't put it into words. You don't know what you are missing, by staying away from the Lord. The devil has a way of making our minds believe that God is the most boring thing, is the most tiring thing, whereas that's the thing, the very thing you need. Everybody is quiet. I hope you are with me. Yes, see, I can tell you, fight for it. Hey, see, when the word of God affects you so much, a time will come in your life. You are unconsciously under the hand of God. Even your errors, what you think is just your mind, a time will come where, without you knowing, you know, there's a level of saying, oh God, order my steps. Oh God, show me your will. Let me do your will. A time will come in your life. You may not even need to pray, Lord, show me your will. You are unconsciously in the will. Everywhere you go. Let me give an example. The kind of coincidences I have in my life. If I tell you, you will say it's jazz. The kind of coincidences I have in my life. The kind of people I have met. Simply by just being under the will of God. Being under what you can call synchrony. The recent one, I was telling the guys that were in my house. So my car had a challenge, and for almost 2 months, I've not been able to use it. And so I was coming back from the airport 2 days or 3 days ago. And on my way, I was like, now, how am I going to take a car from this Abuja airport to my house at Lokogoma? This money will be like 30K. And truth be told, it was more than that. I got there. I said, please, how much for a taxi? They said, okay, we are carrying you only 50,000. I said, wait, this is blood money now. I said, from where? I said, from airport to Lokogoma, 50,000. They said, yeah, 50K. He said, if you pair with somebody, we can make it like 30K. I said, ha. Okay, I was now thinking, what will I do? Then I said, okay, there's another car. That one's willing to take 30,000. I said, ha. So I would count 30,000. I will count 30,000. I have tank of fuel. I'll pay. Just when I arrived to my house, I said, no, Lord. Go, what will I do? Now, I had the money. Are you with me? But I cannot just throw away the 30K like that. So I was thinking, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I was thinking, what will I do? And now when I stood somewhere, a man standing beside me said, oh, where are you going to? I said, I'm going to Lokogoma. He said, me, I'm going to Sunnyvale. I said, we can pay. Then we went to meet them. They said, okay, two of you pay. You pay 15, you pay 15. The man said, God forbid. I cannot pay 15,000. Never. Are you following me? He said, my friend, come, let's sit down. So I was sitting down. He said, I will call somebody now. He booked a ride. So the guy now agreed to carry two of us for 18,000. So he said, David. So I told him, he said, what's your name? I said, my name is David. He said, David, you will pay 8,000. Me, I will pay 10. Because I want him to drop me first. I said, no problem, sir. So, from 50K to 8K. Follow. After he dropped him, time to take me to the house. This man counted 13,000 and gave me. I said, you know what? Just pay. You can add the others. I said, you know what? Let's take my number. Let's talk. What do you do? By the time I got to my house, from paying 50K, I paid 5,000. 5,000. Now, I was asking myself, what made me leave where I was standing to go to the exact point where the man was and started talking to me? See, it may look like a normal thing to you, but I experienced it so much that right now I know that it's a divine hand. So much, I've experienced it so much that I know that this has to be God. There was a day, I was invited to preach sometime in this Abuja. Many years ago, about 10 years ago, I was invited to preach in Abuja. I was supposed to preach the next day. I didn't have anywhere to stay, but I was on the road coming. While I was still on the road, I got a call. Pastor David, I had a dream just now. God told me to prepare a house for you. You are coming to preach. Unconscious synchrony, where the hand of God is so strong on your life. So I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Say after me, I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Say it again, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Luke 10, verse 38. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, what is the matter? Praise the Lord. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Verse 42. But one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You are compelled about too many things. You know, the devil can make every other thing look more important than prayer and the word of God. Every other thing can look very important. Very important. I've not taken this girl to the cleaner. Everything can. You see that restlessness in your soul to make something else more important than God. You are praying, you're reading your Bible. That thing can wait. It can wait. It can wait. Are you getting what I'm saying? If President Tinubu sends for you now, some of you will leave the service. If as you are here, legit call, let's not use service. Let me not blackmail you. Let's assume you were in your office. That job that you are doing, that job that you like so much, and they are paying you 500K per month. Some people should say amen.
Amen.
And President Tinubu says, can you come for a meeting? And you, it's legit. You know it is true. He's calling you. Some of you, you know, somebody gave an analogy of this some years ago that got me thinking. When God tells people, come and follow me. Come and talk to me. Come, let's have a discussion. I want to talk to you. He's some people, they're acting, but I'm telling you, if Elon Musk comes and asks you, hey, young man, what are you doing? Say, well, I run an automobile workshop. We repair cars. We do this. We do that. He said, okay, this is what you do for me. I see you're quite industrious. I want you to sell off that shop, close down everything. Join me. Let's go back to the United States and let's do stuff together. Some people, they will say, sir, no need to go back. Let's be going from here. From here. Carry me. Just be going. Do you know why? Because you believe he's something. He's worth it, right?
Yes, sir.
What do you really think about God? The God that created that man. The Lord told me one time. He said, I am too valuable. I don't need to advertise myself. I am too valuable. I don't need to force myself on anybody. I'm like, wow, that's heavy. I don't need to force myself on anybody. Are you following what I'm saying? One thing is needful. One thing. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. Martha was busy everywhere. Running around looking for food. And it's not bad. But at that point, what did Jesus want? Jesus wanted her to be sitting down in front, listening to what he's saying. He says, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That means it can be taken away from you. Pay attention, please. I beg you. Are you with me? It can be taken away from you. And how does the devil take it away from you? By subtle distractions. Listen, do you realize that Martha was not away from Jesus? She was in the very same building that Jesus was. It's not like she was an outright sinner. It's not like she was in the club. It's not like she was out there committing adultery. She was at the very same hall that Jesus was. But she was distracted with other things. Let me tell you, the devil may not really care about if you're an outright sinner. Just be too busy for God. Just be too busy for God. That's how he will take that path from you. Once he can get you to the point where you are too busy for God. You know, there is this video that has been trending. Hello, ChatGPT. If I was a devil, how will you distract Christians from knowing? Look at all the things that were said there. I'm hammering it because if you're not careful, you will come to the end of this year and wonder why there were no major changes. Major things only happen because of the hand of God. I'm telling you. Oh my God. Major things only happen because of the hand of God. And sometimes those things nobody can teach you. You have to catch it in the spirit. Say after me, the yoke of devotion. Say after me, I will learn of him.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, the yoke of denial. Say after me, the yoke of denial. I want to ask you, so that you ask your neighbor, what have you let go? Ask your neighbor, what have you let go? Because of Christ. The yoke of denial. This one is a very strong one. There are people that you must let go because of Christ. There are people that you must forgive. You must forgive them because of Christ. If you will be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you must let it go. Somebody told me yesterday, Pastor David, every time you are preaching, you like to shoot people. that you just say it. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 8 from verse 34. The Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Please, I want to apologize. If this sounds very hard, I'm sorry, but it's just the word of God. Are you with me? I have to be faithful to the one who called and sent me. Are you getting me? And when he had called people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself. Hey, God. There are things you have to say no. There are things you must lose because of Christ. In fact, if you have lost nothing for Christ, it's either you are not saved or you are not growing. Are you getting me? You know, we are talking about yoke here. Almost looks like you are treated unfairly. Let me tell you, a genuine Christian is not the person that always fights for his rights. I speak in parables. A genuine Christian will not always fight for his rights. I speak in parables. There are sometimes God will allow people to offend you, and it will be obvious that you were right, but you are arranged in such a way that it will be like they are biting you. Many times God has to do it like that, because if they don't cheat you, he cannot help you. Many times God will allow people to cheat you so it will be his excuse to add more to you. Hey, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If you don't understand this thing, many times what you are fighting for to get, what God wanted to give you is times 100. Okay, think about Joseph. Imagine he was angry. Potiphar, it's not the way it happened though. See. Maybe he finally fought his way and got Potiphar to understand what really happened in the story. That it was actually Potiphar's wife that was trying to tempt him. He said, I'm not the one. See, I will not let it go. I must fight. Maybe from the prison he began to fight, and he fought his way and he escaped the prison. Fought his way and proved to everybody that she was the one trying to seduce him, and she was the one that framed him up. Everyone would have clapped for him, Abby. She would have won the case. They would clap for him. Bye. But he would not know that he actually walked out of destiny. He just walked out by himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? The yoke of denial. Ask your neighbor, what have you let go for Jesus? Ask your neighbor, what have you let go for Jesus? Look at Philippians 3 verse 7. I know this is strong meat, but I'm feeding you. That's what I'm doing. I'm feeding you. I'm putting it in your spirit. Oh, brother, in that office, what have you let go? They're offering you how much million to just compromise, to join them and steal. Have you let it go? When last you let that kind of sinful opportunity let go? Philippians 3 verse 7. Paul speaking here, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Are you seeing what this man is saying? The great apostle Paul. Please, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Hey, there is something called winning Christ. Am I talking to you? And many times it only happens when you lose some things. You know, when you become mature as a Christian, you don't join everybody to talk rubbish. There was a time, a certain denomination in this country, they wear their vest. They wear their church uniform as a vest. Amadis, who are you? And we were criticizing them. Hey, how can you be wearing a vest with your church name on it? Okay, you, what have you done for God? Now, I'm not in support of it. I'm not trying to give them any credence, but it's commendable. You went to preach somewhere, small insult, they insulted you. Yeah, I'm being persecuted for the gospel. I'm not doing it again. Some people say they don't even preach. They cannot remember the last time they went to engage somebody in a conversation and said, can I just talk to you about Christ? You want to invite the person to your church? Say, please, I want you to come to church. Come and hear the word of God. I beg. I don't want to hear church. All you churches are scam. You churches are thieves. And you are angry. Oh, say no, no problem. I'll pray for him. I'll just take the person's name and go and pray. Pray. Say, oh God, open his eyes. I do it a lot. I say, Lord, open his eyes to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Open his eyes. What have you lost for him? Some people, every opportunity to sin, they dive in. Every opportunity to sin, they just dive in. Lose something, lose something for Christ. Tell your neighbor, lose something for Christ. You will deny yourself some opportunities. You say, this one, no. Sometimes, it's not even like it's a sin. You just know this is not what God wants you to do. Are you getting me? This is not what God wants me to do. God wants me to be somewhere else. Are you following this? See, that is a sermon of his own. This one. If you are not losing things for Christ, God cannot commit so much to you. Look at Abraham. Many will want Abraham's blessing, but look at Abraham's consecration. Sometimes it's not really about that thing that God wants to collect from you. God is trying to check your heart. Your heart. What really is at the center of your heart? Abraham, give me thy son, thy only son, which thou lovest. Because you know there was Ishmael there. He said, bring Isaac. Abraham had made up his mind, I will kill this child. And God now said, now I know. In blessing, I will bless thee. What have you lost that God can say, now I know? Are you with me?
Yes,
please, are you with me?
Yes,
there are some things God is waiting for you to lose. It's called sacrifice. Let me tell you something. People in the dark kingdom understand this thing more. They see the spirit realm runs by sacrifice. I'm sure you've heard all those things that they have gone to renew their sacrifice. They know that there are levels that you want to go to. Drop it. Let me read something to you. Hebrews 11 verse 24. You know, I was quite a street boy before I got born again. And when I got serious with the Lord and got born again in 2005, I had to tell, there are some names I said they should stop calling me. Stop calling me rugged. I'm a child of God. Stop calling me rugged. And there was a biblical precedence, as I'm going to show you. Hebrews 11 from verse 24. It says, by faith, when Moses was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Can we read it together? Verse 24. Everybody, Hebrews 11, verse 24. 1, 2, 3, go! By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pause. Let me start from here. Do you see that rendition by Moses by faith when he was come to years? Meaning one of the signs of spiritual maturity is that you know what to reject. Ah, my God. Please, if your neighbor is sleeping, tell him, wake up!
Wake up!
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, meaning when he had matured, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Tell you, don't miss CLCU. This faith matter, we'll talk about it. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26. For he had recompense on esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know what is coming to my mind? You know what is coming to my mind? The three Hebrew boys. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow. Our God will save us, but if he does not save us, we will not bow. If he saves us, fine. If he does not save us, but you see this thing, we will not respond. We will not bow. And guess what? They were the ones to experience inside fire but not burned. They were the ones to see God walking as Jesus appeared there. The Son of God came there. There are levels in God that you will not touch until you come into the yoke of denial. Are you with me? Usually, let me tell you why I'm talking like this. You know why I'm talking like this? Can I tell you the real reason? God wants to lift you. Thought you would say amen. God wants to bless you. But usually, he will test you before he lifts you. He will allow men to test you and see that if we make this one now a minister tomorrow, I hope he will not embarrass us. If we give this one, see, there are some people, God regrets that he made them great because they couldn't handle greatness. Their greatness was their downfall. Some people, when they begin to roll with all these big men and all of that, all these top politicians, every small thing, when they are talking against the Christ, talking against pastors, talking against the church, you will join them. Because you don't want to feel like you are left out. When they are talking down and talking low on Jesus, you join them. Because you don't want to feel like you are left out. You have not learned to deny. It's better you cancel me than God cancels me. Am I talking to you? Okay. And finally, the yoke of duty. You know, I was somewhere some days ago in this Abuja. And obviously a big man. And we're talking and I said, so, what's your name? I said, my name is David. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, is that all you do? I said, yes. He said, is that all you have ever done? I said, well, I read mechanical engineering and I worked in the oil fields in Port Harcourt. I told him where I worked in and all of that. He said, okay. He said, so now, are you telling me you left your job to become a pastor? I said, yes. He said, really? I said, the Lord told me to do so. He said, the Lord? Because while we are in this place together, every 2 minutes, I will talk to that one who is the commissioner. Don't worry, let me talk to the minister. Let me talk to this. I don't know. Maybe if you're, I will say, no. I am a pastor.
Yes, sir.
I am a full-time pastor. If you think this is easy, come and do it. No, come and do it. When witches slap you after 2 weeks. Hey, no, you think it's beans. Come and do it. When I used to be on the oil field, we used to do 12-hour shifts. Sometimes, I will finish 12-hour shifts like this. Opening valves, turning valves. We'll finish 12-hour shifts. I'll run into my hotel room. I will see calls. Say, Pastor David, pray. My brother is dying. I will just be seeing, he's just be dropping like this. Pastor, they pray. So sometimes I will pray in the night. 6 a.m. I'm back on the shift again. I'm a pastor. I'm a full-time pastor. I work with the Lord Monday to Sunday. Sometimes, if you're not careful, I may work more than the 9 to 5. People who stay with me know what I'm talking about. If you want to try, come and work with me for 1 week. When you are done with working with me for 1 week, you will now know. Praise the Lord. But I will not deny my faith and deny my commitment to Christ because I want to please men. Never! Tell your neighbor, never.
Never.
Never. Talk low on Jesus. Talk down on church. Talk down on the things of the spirit. No. I will deny that acceptance. Are you getting me? Finally, the yoke of duty. Tell your neighbor, the yoke of duty. The yoke of duty refers to the fact that your commitment to Christ means that you are on a duty for Him. Say after me, I am on duty for Christ. Number one, how are you on duty for Christ? You are a doer of the word. Say after me, I'm a doer of the word. His word is your command. When you open the Bible and you see something in the Bible, it should get to you. Anytime in your Christian journey where the Bible no longer gets to you, where you hear the word of God, it no longer pricks you, your sincerity has been lost. Where your heart is now hardened, God can no longer talk to you and it will break you. Where the Bible cannot say something and you are like, I need to change you. Ephesians 4 verse 29, I cannot forget. Before, if you annoy me, I will insult you. You stupid, you are crazy, you are mad, bombastic element, idiot, fool, all those kind of things. Then I read the Bible one day. Ephesians 4 29, let no evil communication proceed out of thy mouth, but let that which administer grace unto the hearers. I said, from today, this thing must stop. So, initially, let me tell you what I used to do. Then, I've grown far above that. When I'm angry, I don't want to say you are stupid. You are a fish. You are beans. Oh. I can't say what I want to say. You are blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
let no corrupt communication, because I know if I say you are foolish, you are stupid, all of that. Do you know that the Bible actually says that call not your brother fool? That's what the Bible says. Jesus said it. That you, for every idle word, you will give account to God on the day of judgment. People, Christians still hear that word. And on the road, when they are driving, and somebody just, vroom, idiot. Some of them, they will go to the person's windscreen and say, you are very crazy. You are a fool. And they are believers. What happened to this verse? Tell them, I'm a doer of the word. I was telling them in the car, I heard a man of God say, there are sometimes you are praying in tongues, or when you're on the steering, you are driving, you're praying in tongues. Zika bala katabariata shapalata. Then one car just comes from nowhere to almost crash you. If you're not careful, you say Rika Baraba Shakatalaba Santo Zika Paya Lim. Because you cannot just switch from tongues to waka. So leke repe leke shiki tiki tiki. Praise God. Tell them I'm a doer of the word. I know today's sermon is strong, but can you just shout glory? Glory! Say after me, I receive the word. Secondly, on duty for God means He is Lord of your life. You do what He wants you to do. You make up your mind that you will do His will. You make up your mind that you will do His will. Tell your neighbor, make up your mind to do the will of the Lord. John 4 verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Jump on your feet. Let's read this verse together. Shout glory! A Christian should be having services like this. These are services for instruction. Not all the services receive. Take it. Some services is for instruction. Can you say after me, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. I will do the will of God with my life. I will do the will of God with my life. I will do the will of God with my life. I will do the will of God with my life. Begin to pray right now. Talk to the Lord.